Number two underway right here on the overtime program. Joining us once again is our regular contributor, Tim Comine. We'll have to get your mug shot up here pretty quick, Tim. But we had some good stuff going on. We're going to start first north of 694, where we had some great contests. We had a great clash with Alexandria and Sartell St. Stephen. A 4-1 win for Alexandria. They had four goals by one guy, and you can fill us in on that one a little bit. But, you know, beyond the fact that it doesn't really impact the standings in the conference, it has some serious sectional implications.
Absolutely, Pete. And, by the way, there is some good hockey being played up north of 694, too, so I'm glad we can talk about it today. Like you said, Alexandria 4, Sartell 1. That was kind of the game that everybody was pointing at for that number one seed in Section 6A. The two teams they played earlier this year, it was a 5-5 tie. So this was kind of the rubber match of that then. Whoever wins this probably gets that number one seed, and it looks like Alexandria is going to get that pole position up here. Like you said, Thomas Williams, four goals, scored all four goals for Alex. I think he's got 26 goals on the year now. He was a leading scorer, last year, and so they were counting on him for big things this year. And he certainly has provided so far.
So from the Alexandria Sartell St. Stephen perspective, you know, we can look at the conference all we want. That's a nice feather in the cap. You know, you hear the coaches talk so much year in, year out about sectional play, head-to-head sectional games. You know, you almost think, forget the conference play. Let's just make some section conferences instead.
Yeah, you hear things like that. I mean, I just did an interview with Dave Morinville, and, you know, Moorhead's nominally, I guess, in the Mariucci Conference, although I don't think they pay a whole lot of attention to that. Same thing. Everybody's pointing to sections. You know? A lot of these teams from the same conference play in the same section, so you get a little bit of carryover. But to be honest, they're aiming for the playoffs. That conference title, like you said, nice feather in the cap. But come section time, that's all they're thinking about. That conference title. After the year is over, after they've lost their playoff game, then maybe they can look back and get that conference trophy and polish it up a little bit. But until then, all about the sections, baby.
Indeed it is. And you have a good indication that it's playoff time in high school hockey. Look at the scores out there. We had a pair of 1-0 games that we're going to talk about as well. We had a 2-1 game with Breck beating Rochester Lords. Of course, that a non-conference, but very serious Class A implications. Lords is going to have a heck of a battle in the southeastern Minnesota with Faribault, who's having a great run in the Big Nine. Brad Ryan has his troops really gathered in and doing a nice job. I think really, though, when you get down to defensive hockey, the team's really starting to tighten up in their own zones. And what more can we say? How about Thief River Falls falling by a score of 1-0 last night?
Yeah, speaking of defensive battles up there, now that one was a big surprise. Thief River Falls had just beaten Warroad recently, and kind of were angling for that top seed in Section 8A, but they went, actually, Crookston came to town and beat them 1-0. Just a tight defensive battle, and somehow they managed to solve Zane Gothberg in that game. I think the winning goal was scored with less than a minute left in the third period in that one. So I think everybody was thinking 0-0 tie at some point in that game, but Crookston managed to pull it out. It hasn't been a great season for Crookston. I think that was only their sixth win, but you know, like you said, they play defense like that. Deep River Falls, you know, they can put they can blank people. That Section 8A race is going to be pretty tight. Grand Forks, who we'll talk about a little bit, they only lost to Moorhead last night 1-0. They beat Warroad earlier in the year, too, so we may not see a Warroad or a Thief River Falls come out of 8A if somebody pulls an upset like that against them in the section playoff.
Well, I think, Tim, the Section 8A is very similar to that of all of the other sections, and there's an incredible level of parity. There's really only one that has a team which is by far markedly better. I mean, at least in the AA, we can look at Minnetonka. You know, you look at Breck section, it's like, is anybody going to have anything for them? But, you know, up in the 8A and the 8AA, it looks like an absolute crapshoot to me from what I'm seeing. And anybody can beat anybody on any given day, almost from the 5th, 6th seed on down. Is that what you're seeing there too as well?
That's what it appears like so far. I mean, everybody has their favorites, you know. 8AA, Roseau, and the Moorheads, but Brainerd is on a great run. tonight they get that they get Roseville coming to town. They could make some noise. The Midgets had some up and down games where they've beaten some good teams too. I mean, they can come out and beat somebody on any given night. You know, your St. Cloud Techs and teams like that out of 8AA too. They, you know, there are a lot of teams that can pull an upset on any given night up here. And the same thing has been going on in 8A. You know, it's typically been Warroad, Deep River Falls, but you know, East Grand Forks has pulled off an upset. Crookston just pulled off the upset last night. You know, there's plenty of good hockey beyond those top teams, the ones that most people see down at the X every year. You may get to see somebody else this year.
Well, yeah, it's really starting to look that way. You know, the thing that's interesting in the northwestern part of the state, you take a look at the conferences, there's a mix between 2A and 1A schools. So you know, and of course size isn't really particularly with the Rosos of the world that are playing in the 2A schedule, but at least they're playing you know, against as many AA teams as they can, you know, at least from a sectional seating perspective. But I think the crossover is really helping those Class A schools such as Crookston, Thief, East Grand Forks, Warroad, those types of teams. You know, tell me if you think that is that playing into their parity as well.
Sure. I mean, anytime you get to play another top team, it prepares you for playoffs. I mean, it gives you a feel for the kind of speed, the kind of defensive pressure that you're going to face in the playoffs. You know, it's not just from one line. You know, those AA teams, they can attack you with more than one line. So, say Thief River Falls comes down to Moorhead here and plays the spud. Well, you know, the Dave Morinville and crew will throw three lines at you, and they'll throw them, you know, one right after the other, cycling them after you, and they'll get after you. So that's the kind of thing that they'll face in the playoffs, a team like Thief River Falls, and it's really going to prep them for that.
You know, you take a look at that Thief River Crookston game. It's a power play goal at 16:28 of the third period. Nick Regenball, I think that's how you say it, excuse me if I mispronounced, Alex Prudholm as well. Yeah, Wrecking Ball, that'll work. Well, on the fifth power play of the game, with just seconds 32 remaining in the hockey game, they finally solve the goaltending situation. Shots on goal, Red Thief River Falls 30 and Crookston 21. Biermeier comes up with the shutout. Let's say they get that straight there. And Zane Gothberg turned aside 20 stops in that one. But still, a little bit of a shocker there for that one. And then you take a look at another score. Let's roll over to the Section 7. First of all, Duluth East completely manhandles Apple Valley by a score of 7-1. They look like they're playing some good hockey.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. They've had a couple of games recently where they haven't been able to put the puck in the net, where they've had great chances. I think they beat Forest Lake, 2-1 the other day, and did outplay Forest Lake, but just could not put the puck in the net. And it's kind of been a common issue for East over the last couple of years, but they certainly did it last night. 7 goals against Apple Valley, that's impressive. Not too many people do that against.
Speaking of Forest Lake, they come up with a pretty nice win last night, rebounding from their loss to the White Bear Lake Bears. They fell 6-5 on Tuesday night at MyFoxHockey.com, game of the week, or a game of the night, if you will. They come back and win against, I believe it was Creighton-Durham Hall last night. That's kind of a nice win for them.
Yeah, a little overtime battle in the Suburban East there. I haven't seen the Suburban East standings lately, but I know they were really tight. I mean, they were about five teams within 2-3 points of each other at the top. But that's a race that's going to go right down to the wire, too. I think Woodbury right now is leading that, but I mean, it's up for grabs. It's anybody's game now.
Yeah, the Suburban East is definitely up for grabs. Woodbury was in the driver's seat, still are. Creighton-Durham Hall was making a move. You also had the other two squads, White Bear Lake and Forest Lake, working. Stillwater was in second place, but they ended up falling to White Bear Lake as the Bears really needed to bring an A-level game after their 6-5 win over Forest Lake. They needed to keep that consistency. You know, the team that if I'm Hill Murray again, that I have to be looking to get through, and it's not a shock, it's a cliche, but once again, it's either going to be those two teams, White Bear Lake or Hill Murray, in their section. So, you know, the conference play, which is good in the Suburban East, is because every game from teams 5 up to 1 in the standings is a playoff-type atmosphere.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I don't want to say you sound like a broken record with Hill Murray and White Bear Lake, but to be honest, that's what it's been. That's what it's been until somebody else steps up in that section. I mean, we're going to see one of those two teams, it looks like, again.
You'll never know. I'm sure someone will have something to do with that. How about this? Hermantown outshoots Cloquet Esco Carlton by a 52-28 margin, including 21-5 in the third period, but they still lose this one in overtime by a score of 3-2. Mark Savage scores at 106 to lift the Lumberjacks to the big win. In that contest, it was 2 second period goals by the Lumberjacks to tie it at 2. And, you know, again, there's another 7AA team that, kind of got off to a shaky start. But they're going to have to figure into this thing some way, somehow, aren't they?
Yeah, how about that? If you want to ask Duluth East fans, speaking of Duluth East again, ask them about Cloquet and what it's like playing the Lumberjacks in the section playoffs. They have bad memories of a couple of years ago getting upset by Cloquet. And I think a result like this kind of shakes up 7AA a little bit. So, hey, you know, watch out for Cloquet. They might not get a high seed, but certainly capable of pulling off an upset or two.
Any team, though, that has Justin Jokinen, though, is going to have a chance to win. And you remember how good he was back in the day. Yeah, but then you were mentioning something about Hermantown?
Actually, one more thing about Cloquet, too. They've got a pretty good goal scorer on that team that maybe gets a little bit overlooked. His name's Jack McFarlane. I think his dad, Tom, used to coach up there in Cloquet. But he's a true sniper. He's a big kid, you know, can really shoot the puck. And give him a little bit of opening, and he'll find the back of the net. He'll tickle that twine for you. So keep an eye on him. If Cloquet is going to pull an upset in the section playoffs, I'm betting he's going to have a big part in it.
What about the Hermantown Hawks? They fell to Eden Prairie a couple of weeks ago. That's nothing to be ashamed of in really tough atmosphere. But have they stumbled a bit?
I would say not really. I mean, you get a game like this where they get upset by a team that everybody expected them to beat by several goals. I mean, they really did outplay Cloquet. Just ran into a hot goaltender. Just couldn't follow them. I think Hermantown is fine. In fact, at this point, the way Section 5A is shaping up, I'd be surprised. It'd be a big surprise if Hermantown didn't get out of there and get to the state tournament. Kind of, not as much of a surprise as, say, Breck out of 2A didn't make it. But, it's along those lines. Hermantown, you should be seeing them at the X in March. I'd be very surprised if they don't get out of 5A.
Do you think they'll have any resistance, though, along the way? You got to be thinking about the Blue Devils, don't you?
Virginia's up in 7A, so they'll be battling it up out of 7A. But, yeah, let's see, 5A, Denfeld usually plays Hermantown tough. They could be a tough out. Cathedral, St. Cloud Cathedral in 5A, they've been the section champions the last couple of years. But, I mean, they really got decimated on their defensive core. They lost most of their guys, and it's been a struggle to recover from that this year for Eric Johnson and the boys. I mean, other than those two, I can't think of, I'm sure I'm overlooking somebody in 5A, but those are the two that would give Hermantown the most trouble, I would think.
We're going to wrap up our coverage here of period number two. I want to talk a little more in depth on the Moorhead-East Grand Forks game. Tyler Larson scores at 9:29 of the first period. That's the lone goal of the contest. Brandon McLeod and Kyle Kramer in on the assists. That stands up as the game winner. Shots on goal for Moorhead 22, for East Grand Forks 21. And, the Moorhead Spuds have a big one coming up this Saturday against the Bloomington Jefferson Jaguars, non-conference action.
Yeah, a little rematch of a holiday tournament game that Moorhead lost to the Jags. I'm sure they're excited about getting them up in their own building. They lost 4-1 back on the 28th of December to Jefferson down there at St. Louis Park.
Well, and I was able to call that game, Tim, and it was an interesting contest from the perspective of it was strength and grit from the Moorhead Spuds against the speed and skill of the Bloomington Jefferson Jaguars, and the Jags played an outstanding game. Their special teams were, you cannot put them on the power play. If you do, it's going to be a long night because you go from Faust to Pollock to Herbert to Dietzler, Nielsen. They've got a long list of guys that have the ability to not only handle the puck but finish. So that's going to be the call of the order, play a tight checking yet disciplined game for Dave Morinville's squad.
I talked to him this morning here about that game, and that was his first key that he mentioned to me was, hey, we got to stay out of the box against these guys. We can't put Jefferson on the power play, or we're going to be in trouble. I think they gave up a couple of power play goals down there, and that was kind of the end of it for him. So, I am sure he's going to appreciate having Jefferson making that trek up 94 and, maybe having a little bit of travel legs under him yet and get him out on the ice out there in Moorhead and have the fans start getting on their case. He may hope to get a little reversal of that game down there in St. Louis Park. So.
Have you seen the Jags skate? I think even with bus legs, they're still faster than just about any other team in the state. But they are feeling pretty good about themselves. They came off a gritty 3-2 win against Eagan last night. We had the breakdown of that in period number one. I think it's going to be a great game. And you know, Jeff Lindquist was very, very clear about stating his belief and opinion that, you know what, when we go up into Moorhead, it's going to be a hostile environment. We want hostile environments. We like that idea. And so they're going to be ready to roll. The only thing that I asked Coach Lindquist was, are you going with the spot, buddy? So hopefully he has one of those great potatoes there, you know. I don't know, do they do that before every game, or is that just select tilts?
Just select tilts, but you are lucky because Saturday night is one of their select tilts. I think they got the spot going up there for that one. Stop by the concession stand and get one. I know I'm going to get one between periods. I'll be at that game, so I'll do a little coverage of it for the Hub. Anybody who's interested in Jefferson and Moorhead.
It is absolutely outstanding stuff. We have Dave Morinville. I think what we're going to do with him, Tim, is he's going to lead off period number three for us. So we're going to take a quick time out. Period number two comes to an end. I got to get a buzzer for us here and stick that in there. So then that means we move on to period number three. You and I are going to look a little bit more into that. Moorhead, we'll play that interview with Dave Morinville. And there's some stuff in the Twin Cities that went on last night that I'd like to talk about as well. We'll be back with more right after this on Overtime on the MNHockeyHub.com radio network.